Have you ever looked at a child's toy and felt an inexplicable chill? There's something deeply unsettling about familiar objects turning malevolent, a phenomenon Stephen King understands better than anyone. His 1985 collection, Skeleton Crew, transforms the mundane into the monstrous, a cymbal-clashing monkey, a homemade word processor, even a patch of black water. These aren't distant threats from gothic castles or alien planets. They're horrors that could be waiting in your attic, on your desk, or at your favorite swimming spot. What makes this collection so enduring is its core insight. Terror doesn't always arrive with fangs and claws. Sometimes it wears the face of normalcy, until the moment it doesn't. Picture a supermarket after a thunderstorm, fluorescent lights humming. Then an unnatural fog rolls in, bringing tentacled nightmares from another dimension. The mist doesn't just trap its characters physically, it creates a pressure cooker where humanity's veneer cracks. As creatures snatch people from the parking lot and spider things slice through flesh, the real horror emerges inside. Mrs. Carmody, a religious zealot, preaches that these monsters represent divine punishment requiring blood sacrifice. Watch how quickly desperate people abandon reason for the comfort of certainty, even when that certainty demands human lives. Protagonist David witnesses society's fragmentation in real time. Pragmatists band together, deniers retreat into fantasy, and a growing faction rallies around Carmody's apocalyptic visions. When David finally escapes with his son, driving through an endless apocalyptic landscape, he clings to a faint radio transmission suggesting survivors in Hartford. The story leaves us with the barest glimmer of hope amid overwhelming despair. A masterclass in cosmic horror that suggests the universe cares nothing for human survival. What would you do to survive? Survivor type forces us to confront this question through Richard Pine, a disgraced surgeon stranded on a deserted island after a shipwreck. His diary entries chronicle a descent that begins with clinical determination, killing and eating a raw seagull, rationing heroin from his smuggling operation, and spirals into unthinkable territory. After breaking his ankle, Pine performs surgery on himself, amputating his foot. Then starvation drives him to eat it. The genius lies in the inexorable logic. Each decision seems rational given his circumstances, yet leads him further into nightmare. He continues amputating and consuming himself, leg, then arm, dragging himself like a crab across the sand. His final entry, barely coherent, suggests he's begun eating his own hands. Ladyfingers, they taste just like ladyfingers. His mantra, "I will survive," becomes increasingly hollow as he sacrifices his humanity piece by piece. The story asks uncomfortable questions about survival's meaning when everything that makes us human has been consumed. King finds horror in progress through two chilling tales. The Jaunt presents a future where teleportation requires unconsciousness during transit. A father explains why, before their Mars trip, conscious travelers experience something unspeakable. Mice emerged catatonic. A death row volunteer who jaunted awake emerged with white hair, muttering, "It's eternity in there," before dying. The son holds his breath instead of anesthetic. On Mars, he emerges ancient-eyed, cackling, "Longer than you think, Dad, I saw," before clawing out his own eyes. While the body travels instantly, the mind experiences subjective eons alone, a fate worse than death. Word Processor of the Gods follows Richard Hagstrom, who receives a homemade word processor that alters reality. He deletes his alcoholic brother from photographs, creates gold coins, then faces ultimate temptation, erasing his ungrateful son and bitter wife to replace them with the family he always wanted. When he types, "My son is Seth Robert Hagstrom," and presses delete, we're simultaneously horrified and sympathetic. If we could rewrite our lives, would we still be ourselves? In The Monkey, Hal Shelburne battles a cursed toy throughout his life. Whenever its brass cymbals clash, death follows. His dog dies. Years later, his sons discover it and deaths resume. Drownings, crashes. The monkey seems sentient, resisting destruction, beckoning hell to wind it. It embodies fate's random cruelty, striking without reason. When Hal rows to Crystal Lake's deepest part to sink it, the cymbals beat inside the bag and the boat breaks apart. Though he believes he's won, hundreds of dead fish float to the surface. Evil cannot be vanquished. The Raft finds horror in simpler circumstances. Four college students trapped on a platform by a black substance in the water. When Rachel touches it, the substance dissolves her skin, consuming her entirely. One by one, they fall. Deke's leg pulled through narrow cracks, Laverne's hair dipping during intimacy, Randy's surrendering to its hypnotic colors after days of exhaustion. The substance represents death's patient inevitability, consuming each victim while survivors watch helplessly. No one knows they're there. How easily does sanity slip away? Grandma traps 11-year-old George alone with his bedridden grandmother while his mother rushes to the hospital. As fear builds, he recalls disturbing secrets. Grandma was expelled from church over mysterious books that somehow allowed her to conceive despite medical impossibility. When she dies during his watch, her hand suddenly clutches his wrist. He hears her voice calling him back, and his feet obey against his will. Before he can complete a protective incantation, Grandma tears away the phone and attacks. Her power has transferred to George through death. When his mother returns, she finds him seemingly normal, but discovers torn fabric in Grandma's hand. As George lies in bed, a horrible grin surfaces on his face, particularly anticipating his brother's return from the hospital. The Ballad of the Flexible Bullet examines how delusions spread between minds. An editor corresponds with paranoid writer Reg Thorpe, who believes in Fornits, luck elves living in typewriters. As Thorpe's paranoia escalates, the editor begins sharing his delusions, unplugging electrical devices, and experiencing the irrational subconscious. When Thorpe's story is rejected, he purchases a gun and commits murder-suicide. The flexible bullet becomes a metaphor for ideas that penetrate our defenses and lodge in our minds, warping reality itself. We all harbor a space where irrationality dwells. Skeleton Crew reveals that horror often emerges from within, from the darkness we carry in our own hearts. These stories resonate because they tap universal fears while remaining deeply human. King writes not for money, but because not writing is suicide, a compulsion to exercise urgent, authentic nightmares. He calls short stories quick kisses in the dark from a stranger, and this collection delivers exactly that, jolts of terror that linger long after the final page. In a world filled with real horrors, King's fictional nightmares offer controlled spaces to confront our fears, serving as mirrors to society's evolving anxieties while exploring timeless aspects of human nature. So next time you pass a toy in an attic, watch fog roll across water, or sit at your computer, remember, the ordinary becomes extraordinary in an instant. In those dark places where civilization cracks, where technology promises too much, where objects remember and madness spreads like contagion, that's where we discover what we're truly made of. Hold tight. The darkness knows the way.